On top of my many titles as mom, entrepreneur, and creative, I've also added host. Drew and I host on Airbnb on our favorite island in Hawaii. We started hosting as a way to make some extra income, and we've had such an easy breezy experience. Now we host year after year, and it's been a fantastic side hustle. Not to brag, but we've also been crowned Airbnb Superhost several times, so we are really killing the game. It's about having spaces we can enjoy as a family while creating memorable experiences for our guests, and it helps that we earn a little extra cash on the side. Your home might be worth more than you think. Find out how much at airbnb.com/host.
It can be whatever we want it to be. So we don't need to know what either of us want to do in 5 or 10 years.
Yes.
This container will allow us to do anything we want to do. But what we know is we'll be doing it together, which is incredible.
Hey, my name is Jenna Kutcher, and I am obsessed with all things business, marketing, numbers, and helping you to navigate both the messy and the magical seasons of this thing called life. I'm a small town mama who took a $300 camera, grew a successful photo biz, and now I work from home and run a 7-figure online business. I teach you the tried and true secrets to building a career you adore. Shy away from the real talk? No way. Money, hardship, growth, loss, and marketing are all topics we discuss here. Think of this as your one-stop shop for happy hour with a gal pal mixed with business school. Pull up a seat, make sure you're cozy, and get ready to be challenged and encouraged while you learn. This is the Gold Digger Podcast. Should you work with your spouse? I think this is a great question. Now, for the longest time, I've gone on the record saying I could never work with Drew. We are amazing partners in marriage, in raising babies, in life, but I have just known that the two of us are not meant to be co-workers. So I have always been fascinated by the couples who seem to defy the odds, who blend their personal and professional lives together, and who build successful companies. And that is the couple I'm going to introduce you to today. Matthew Hussey is a New York Times bestselling author, a speaker, and a coach specializing in confidence and relational intelligence. He's basically like a relationship coach. His YouTube channel is number one in the world for love life advice with over 500 million views. He's also the host of the podcast Love Life with Matthew Hussey, and he provides monthly coaching to the members of his private community. Now, over the past 15 years, Matthew's proven approach has inspired millions through authentic, insightful, and practical advice that not only enables them to find love, but to also feel confident and in control of their own happiness. And now his wife, Audrey, has come by his side on this mission. She serves as the creative director for his brand, working alongside of him and leading their team to spearhead all of their marketing initiatives to help create content and propel the brand and the mission forward. I asked them both to come on the show because Matthew is in the process of releasing his new book called Love Life, which I highly encourage you to go grab a copy of. And I wanted to hear the behind the scenes of what it is really like to work with your partner. Both Matthew and Audrey admitted that they had never had this type of conversation on air. And I am just so grateful for their honesty, their vulnerability, and their ability to just show up and show the behind the scenes of this reality. So should you or should you not work with someone you love? We dissect that and so much more in today's episode. It's so powerful. I can't wait for you to hear it. So without further ado, let's welcome Matthew and Audrey Hussey to the Gold Digger Podcast. Okay, real talk. Are skinny jeans out or are they in? My friends and I continue to have this debate, and it just goes to show that trends come and go and come back again. And the same goes for marketing strategies. Like, who can even keep up? Luckily, HubSpot makes it their job to keep marketers on trend and on track to hit their goals. Their 2024 State of Marketing Report is an all-in-one guide for everything happening this year and how marketers can best approach it all. HubSpot surveyed more than 1,400 marketing pros across the world and curated the top trends they're thinking about. Sure, there's AI, but there's honestly so much more. The report covers everything from increasing awareness and engagement to ensuring privacy and boosting efficiency and growth. This report will give you all the info you need to shape your strategy for the year and keep on winning into next year. So friend, do not get caught hopping on an old trend. Visit HubSpot.com/state of marketing to get your free copy of the report today. That's HubSpot.com/state of marketing. So I am absolutely elated to be speaking to two of my friends today. And we are going to dive into a topic I get asked about all the time and a topic I cannot speak to because I've never done this. And so I brought on my favorite humans to talk about this, and we are going to dive off of the deep end. So a lot of people tend to either love mixing business and their love life, or they totally separate it as wide as possible, mixing their business and their marriage. What do people get wrong when they first hear that you two, Matthew and Audrey, work together? Tell me what happens.
I think the first thing people say is, I could never do that. That sounds absolutely awful. And actually, our experience has been really, really positive. Like, I think that it's probably down to just a personality kind of compatibility when it comes to work. You know, I think we have like a very kind of complementary feminine masculine thing going on. Not to say there isn't ever conflict, because there absolutely is, because, you know, it's not perfect. But yeah, we've really loved it, haven't we?
Yeah, I mean, it's for us, I suppose people, I don't know, maybe they have some idea of the tension you're talking about, or the amount of sheer amount of time you end up spending together, which is an ungodly amount of time. And for us, that's been a positive. Where it would, I think, be a struggle is if the two of us weren't good at speaking up about what we needed in terms of our own time. Like, one of the things, like this week, Audrey, most nights of the week, is actually out with her friends. And there's a natural separation that happens because she has great friends and because she goes and hangs out with those friends. And she's just doing that independently. So a lot of the time at the end of the day, I'll be like, you know, looking at her as if to say like, all right, shall we go and get some food? And she'll be like, oh, I'm actually seeing my friend tonight. And I'm like, oh, okay. And then secretly, I'm also a little bit excited because I'm like, that's kind of cool. I get a night to myself. So it's like there's a nice balance between us doing our own thing. Audrey's better at socializing than I am. I'm more of a like, I just need a night on my own type like thing, or I need a day just like reading and being in my own thoughts. Yeah. And what I've had to learn is to get better at stating that I need a bit of time to myself, because historically in relationships and in my life, I never did that. I just had resentment and, you know, I'd boil over and then get overwhelmed and avoid and just want to like, you know, run away. But it was because I just wasn't good at speaking up about the fact that I needed some time to myself. What we do have to do is kind of create rules around talking shop, just because it's so easy just to talk about it all the time. Like, we are, you know, Audrey is now the creative director for our entire company. She is in contact on a daily, hourly, minute by minute basis with the top people in the company, way more than even I am. And she's the co-host of the podcast, and she's coaching on our retreats. And so like, there's all these elements. She's in so much of everything that she's like more aware of the day-to-day goings on in the company than I am. And that means that now it's not just me bothering her about work. It's her constantly bothering me about work. And it's like 9 o'clock at night, or we're laying in bed at 10:30. And she's like, so-and-so needs you to get back to them on. And that for me, I'm like, I feel like I've become the unemployed one who is like, don't talk to me about, can we please talk about something else? And she's the one with like an extensive to-do list of things for the company that she needs my input on. So that's the part where we have to get really clear about like, it's not like we make specific rules, like after 9 p.m., we don't talk about work.
Yes.
It's just that at a certain point, we have to look at each other and be like, babe,
we're
like,
done.
No. Like,
great
stop.
Pillow talk. I don't know what you're talking about.
Yeah, come on. You know, this makes me laugh so much because Drew is very much like Audrey. Like, he's social. Like, when the pandemic happened, that man was like dying because he could talk to anyone. And I, Matthew, am so much like you, where like I crave alone time. Like,
having two young kids, like the house is never empty. And so like, if the house is empty, that is like, oh my gosh, what a heavenly gift. And so it's so interesting too, because I think that that's such a beautiful balance of like the extrovert and the introvert and honoring that piece of one another. Because oftentimes I feel like it can be really hard to relate to the other side. Like Drew, we have a sauna in our home and he wants to go to the YMCA to sauna so he can talk to Bob. Apparently just got chickens, you know, like where I'm like, I don't get it. Like we have all this in our house. And so I think that's a beautiful thing. Have you guys always like anticipated working together? I know you worked together before you were married. So has that always been kind of a part of the plan of like, we're going to continue this, or maybe someday we'll split off? Like, what does that look like in terms of conversation?
I knew way before she did.
Okay. Really?
Ooh.
I didn't know you knew.
Yeah, you did know, because I would like be kind of saying, I knew how it was so clear to me so quickly that Audrey had unbelievable talent. That for me, it was like, and that, by the way, I'm bad at a lot of things, but what I'm really good at is spotting like who's a killer and who, like who's the next rock star of our company, like who's gonna be. And I very quickly, I was like, oh my God, like this person's, she's gonna be so, it was clear to me that she was going to be so high up. There was going to be one beautiful thing about it, which was we're going to get, like, we're not going to have the problems that people have when one person is an entrepreneur and traveling a lot and the other person has a 9-to-5. That would have been so difficult, because then now we're just constantly apart.
Yeah.
I knew that we would be able to be constantly together because we'd be able to work together. But I also knew that she would be so capable that, like, I actually might end up being the one fighting for her time, not the other way around.
Yeah.
And in a lot of ways that kind of happened, but I knew like, oh, she's going to be this incredible person in this organization. And that was long before she'd even had any experience with, you know, an organization like ours.
Yeah.
Because Audrey was from a completely different background.
Yeah, I was a producer in television. So I used to make documentaries. And like, it was completely different. So I learned everything from scratch. I didn't know what a funnel was until about 2 years ago.
But now she speaks fluently on all of these things. And, you know, for me, it's what's fascinating is like, I'm so like, I can already see, like, I can see how wildly capable she is and how talented she is. So I'm like throwing her into things. And she's like, wait, I've never done this before. I've got to go and do that. Like, oh, wait, I'm going to be on stage now in front of all these people. I'm like, you're fine. Just go and do it. Like, it's almost like it's like not even a thing that I register that she's not ready for that. I just know she is, but she doesn't know that she is. So she's like still having healthy, reasonable kind of self-doubt. And I'm like, no, you're fine. Can we just please move on to the next thing that I've got lined up for you, before she's so even true. Really like had a chance to think about this thing that I've thrown her into. But it's become an amazing thing.
I'm feeling my way into success.
Were you together when you started working together? What was that story? Was that? No, you weren't.
No.
Okay.
I was a producer in London. You were living in LA. And we were long distance. So the first half of our relationship for about 2 years, we were long distance.
Okay.
And I remember you came home and you were home for like a month and a half, and I was working on a production and I was managing a big team. And I think that was the last big production I did before we started working together. And I wonder whether that's when you were like, we're going to work together.
I couldn't wait for her to finish her next TV job. Because I was like, the moment this is finished, like there's so much that you can get involved in. And You know, talking about the future is ours now, you know, like everything we're doing is ours and we're building it together. Like we don't talk about it as my company. We talk about it as our company. Mm-hmm. And it's like, that's, you know, that's what's exciting for me for the future is that, you know, I've been doing this for 17 years of my life, but this person came along who, honestly, it feels like the most giant lottery win anyone could ever have, because it's like, I won the Love Life lottery at the same time as winning like the, you know, partner lottery professionally at the same time as having someone who really gets me, who gets it and what we're doing, who also is just our audience absolutely adores. And every time she's on camera, every time she's on a podcast, people don't, you know how easy it would be for everyone to hate her?
I mean, I could never.
But, you know, everyone's just like, oh my God, please put her on more, which is, you know, it's like, it is like winning three different lotteries all at the same time. And it means for us for the future, it's, it just feels really simple. It feels like we've got, you know this, Jenna, in an organization like the ones that we've grown, there's so much natural variety that it offers because you can take it in any direction you want. If you want to make a podcast, you can make a podcast, YouTube channel, books, programs, you know, travel, whatever you want to do, you can make it that thing. And for us, the kind of flexibility for our future that allows is amazing because we can say it can be whatever we want it to be. So we don't need to know what either of us want to do in 5 or 10 years.
Yeah.
This container will allow us to do anything we want to do. Yeah. But what we know is we'll be doing it together, which is incredible.
And you know something else, Jenna? A friend of ours, I don't know if you know Mo Gowda, but he's a writer and author. He's amazing. He's so lovely. But he said to us once, I asked him, what is the, in your opinion, what advice would you give someone who's about to get married? I said to him, what do you think is your recipe and your advice for a long lasting marriage? And he said, having a shared mission.
Yes.
He said, it keeps you on the same track if you have a shared mission. So especially I think with this kind of industry where it's so life consuming, I suppose any business, if you're a business owner, it is like, it's your whole life. You don't get to check in and out of it. You just, you embody it every single day. And so I think having the ability to share that with your partner, if you can, and having that shared mission strengthens the relationship. If you can, you know, handle working together, which I think is very much down to like personalities and matches and stuff.
Yes. But
I think that if you can do that, it's really a beautiful thing. And it actually kind of enhances everything.
It really does. And listen, I don't want to take a dark turn here, but
oh God.
take it, Matthew. Take it.
I think it's really important to say that, you know, working with family can go to either extreme. Mm-hmm. And there are some of the most horrific situations I've ever heard of are with people working with family.
Yeah.
So I think it's important to add balance to it. Like, every relationship has its own DNA.
Yeah.
And you can talk to, you know, I have friends who will never, ever go into partnership with someone, not because they were in partnership with family, but because they had partners before.
Yeah.
And it was traumatizing for them. And now they're like, I'll never have a partner again. And that's no different to someone saying, I'll never have a relationship again because I've had a terrible relationship in the past.
Yes.
There are some people swear they can't imagine doing business without the partner that they've partnered with for the last 20 years and who is also one of their best friends, and they have their ups and downs, but my God, they can't imagine doing it apart. So I would never prescribe our situation to somebody else. It works because of the DNA of our relationship and how we get on together and how we resolve issues together and how talented Audrey is and how skilled she is in the role, which means I'm never ever questioning what she's bringing to the table in her role. It's never like I'm going, I'm not sure about this anymore. It's not, she's not bringing value. Like, she's extraordinary. So there's a lot of things, there's a lot of boxes to tick that if any of them were not ticked, it could end up being a very, very poisonous situation for both of us. Yeah. And so I just want to acknowledge that because I think it's, this is not a prescription. It could be a very, very dangerous thing to work with partners or family.
I love this because, so Drew and I, people are always so surprised, but over the years, I love what you were talking about, Audrey, about casting vision and just that power, because I feel like often when I get a new idea or like a new project, like I have to paint the picture of like why this is worth it, right? Because a lot of times your partner, it's like, it's going to shift things for everybody. Mm. And there's a part in my book where I was talking about like vision casting. And I think that there is something so beautiful, even if your spouse isn't a partner in your business or working with you to be a good vision caster, because if you are not bought into the vision and you don't have someone to remind you of how powerful that vision is, there are going to be so many times where you want to give up on it. And so I have always been focused on like, here is the why, and like, remind me of this when I say I want to quit, right? Like, remind me of this when, like, paint the picture for me, make it the most beautiful scene so that I stay committed to this thing. And it's so funny because Drew and I, we do not talk about work at all. Like, he literally doesn't know, beyond me telling him that I got to talk to you guys today, he doesn't know what I'm doing. He doesn't know, like, it is such a need to know basis, because I've learned over the years that one, he doesn't care. But two, like, one day I was trying to explain like conversion percentages, and I was like literally watching the thought bubbles above his head. And I was like, you know what? I'm going to save this for like a text to Amy Porterfield. Like, she's going to celebrate with me on this one. Like, we can talk about other things. And so I love that you talk about the DNA of your relationship too, because I think that the best thing, and this is what you guys are so good at, is helping people have their own level of personal awareness around not only what you say you want, but what you bring to the table. And so let's talk about your book, Matthew, Love Life. And I know that your name is on the cover, and I know that you are behind this, but I know also Audrey had to buy into this vision. This is a ton of work, and it's a beautiful project. Walk me through some of that with you guys and the work that you're doing right now.
Yeah, well, it's been, Audrey's been even more than a support, as so many of the kind of concepts in the book have been made better by Audrey's input. And there's very specific ideas in there that came from Audrey as well. So it's been, you know, as much as I've been writing this book for, in some form, probably for 4 or 5 years of my life, you know, two of those years have had Audrey weighing in and breathing life into these ideas. So it truly has been a 1+1=3 situation on the content of this book. And there's a lot of Audrey in there. But I think that the book's been like, it's been a real challenge. I mean, we, you know, if anyone who has a company knows that when you take on a book, you take on a whole other job that has nothing to do with the running of your organization, not to mention the content you already create and put out there in the world. And you're just expected to kind of essentially moonlight as a writer, which is an extraordinarily arrogant thing to, for anyone to even kind of do, because it's, writing is hard when it's someone's only job. And to actually properly sit down and sit in front of a laptop and write, which is what I did for this, you know, I was up at
4 a.m. most nights. He would get, most mornings, I should say, he'd get up at 4 a.m. and work between 4 and 8, because those were your undisturbed hours before the company was kind of alive and running, and he was needed in meetings and videos and all sorts of things. So yeah, you had like, you were leading like a double life. And on the weekends, every weekend, it was like multiple hours writing.
Yeah. And so that was a, that was rough. And I wouldn't want to do that again. You know, I just, it really, I did it this time because I felt like I had a, I had an important book in me, and I really wanted to get it out. And, you know, we weren't, I'm not a place in my career where it was appropriate for me to just take a year off and write, but it's not something that I would ever want for anybody really, because it, it's put a strain on our relationship during the writing period where we, it suffered and we fought at times, and we, you know, it was like, it was a painful process in many ways. I was overwhelmed, you know, made myself ill at times. Like, it just was not, I can't, I don't want anyone to hear me getting up at 4 a.m. as an inspirational thing. It's not, it's not an inspirational thing. It was a sick thing. And
there's a lot of like conscious sacrifice that happens and a bit of a like, we're going to put a pin in this for the next 2 months, because there is no time for this, whether that's quality time, whether that's, you know, weekends, whatever it might be. We're just going to put a pin in it for now. We're going to make peace with the fact that that's just going to be life for a short period of time, and communicate that and be like, okay, like, keep having to talk about it, keep having to just like reiterate, this is just a phase, it's just temporary, blah, blah, blah. But there has been a lot, there was a lot of that. And there actually is a lot of that even right now. Like, we're not even, it's not even in the thing of the past. Like, we're obviously in the middle of a book promotion, and it's very much like so much of the time does get consumed by trying to make this book a success. And so you end up just compromising on lots of other things temporarily. And as long as I think you are both aligned on that, and as you say, Jenna, the vision behind why it's important and staying connected. And, you know, for me, like I've read the book twice and I love it. Like, objectively, I think it's a beautiful, incredible book that will just help so many people. And I have seen how hard Matt's worked on it. Yeah. And I just go, oh, well, that's a, and I know how much he wants it to be a success. So if I go, okay, like, as his partner who loves him, that is enough for me to stay connected and grit it out for another 6 weeks.
Yes.
And, but I do need to return to that continuously. Otherwise, I get resentful.
And my part of that bargain is that I need to see and acknowledge the toll this has really taken and the consequences. It's not free.
Yeah.
Like,
yeah.
It's not free. It, you know, we haven't spent much time, you know, quality time together at all. We are fighting for scraps, let alone time we're trying to find for family and, you know, friendships and health and going to the gym. And like, it's...
There's been none of that.
Yeah. My, my side of that bargain is like, it has to get better. And I have to take seriously that it gets better. It can't just be a kind of, you know, in narcissistic relationships, they talk about future faking where, you know, narcissists will tell you that one day they're going to want kids or one day they're going to want to be in, married to you and it's all going to get better. And it, and of course that day never comes. Well, I think there's a lot of future faking with entrepreneurs.
Where
there's a lot of like, yeah, don't worry. It's going to get better. It's going to get better. We're going to move into a calmer season and we're going to just focus on stability for a while and not taking on new projects. And that's a kind of future faking because that entrepreneur is addicted to dopamine, is on a constant like rush of the next thing. Their nervous system is wired for chaos. People don't talk about this nearly enough.
Yeah.
And stress, and they don't know how to operate in peacetime.
Yes.
You know, they're a wartime president.
Yes.
So they don't know how to operate. They don't know how to call forward a peacetime leader. And because of that, it's all BS. That time isn't coming. And I have to take that really seriously, that I owe it to her for us to have a more stable time for a while.
Yeah.
Because otherwise, it's all very well that she's being supportive and saying, I understand how important this is to you and that there's a beautiful vision here and it's going to change a lot of lives. And but if I'm not understanding her side of that and that now there needs to be a new rhythm after this, then I'm not doing for her what she's been doing for me through this entire process.
Hey, gold diggers. Lately, I've been getting excited to finish furnishing our new home, which is why I want to tell you about a brand that we absolutely love, which is Article. I have been a fan and a customer of Article for years. I'm always blown away by the curated assortment of furniture styles they offer. They have mid-century, modern, coastal, industrial, Scandinavian, and even boho designs. There is something for everyone, no matter your taste. In our last house, we had their sofa and leather chairs. At our lake house, we have their dining table and chairs. We also just ordered some of their outdoor furniture for our new patio. Like, if you can't tell, we are obsessed with Article. The quality and style are top-notch. Article's online-only model means that they can offer some great prices with fast and hassle-free delivery. Pick the delivery time that works for you, and they keep you updated every step of the way. Article's customer is also amazing. They're knowledgeable, friendly, and always there when you need them. If you're like me and you're itching to give your home a makeover, I highly recommend checking out Article. They believe in delightful design for every home, and thanks to their commitment to style, quality, and affordability, it's never been easier to transform your space. Article is offering our listeners $50 off your first purchase of $100 or more. To claim, visit article.com/golddigger and the discount will be automatically applied at checkout. That's article.com/golddigger for $50 off your first purchase of $100 or more. Gold diggers, we all know the B2B landscape can be a bit complex. From lengthy buying cycles to complicated decision-making processes, reaching your target audience can be tough. But I found a solution tailored just for you: LinkedIn ads. A whopping 79% of B2B content marketers say LinkedIn produces the best results for paid media. That's because with LinkedIn ads, you're not just casting a wide net and hoping for the best. You're strategically building relationships and driving real results. We're talking about a platform with over a billion members, including 180 million senior level executives and 10 million C-level executives. You are networking with the actual decision makers. And LinkedIn's targeting and measurement tools are specifically designed for B2B marketers, meaning you're not wasting time or money on irrelevant leads. In fact, in the tech industry, LinkedIn ads have been shown to generate 2 to 5 times higher return on ad spend compared to other social media platforms. Using LinkedIn ads allows you to stay ahead of the curve when it comes to industry trends and developments, whether it's finding the perfect partner for a collaboration or uncovering new opportunities for growth, LinkedIn can be your secret weapon. Make B2B marketing everything it can be and get $100 credit on your next campaign. Go to linkedin.com/goal to claim your credit. That's linkedin.com/goal. Terms and conditions apply.
You know what has been so huge, and I am not giving out relationship advice here, let me tell you, I'm not the expert, but in situations like this, because I don't subscribe to the idea of balance. I don't, even when you study like the word balance, it's meant to be a moment in time, not a state that is maintained. And so I just don't think that balance exists. But one thing that has been so huge for me, and I think so many other people miss this piece, is setting a deadline of like, I will go and then this is when it ends. And like, even for my book, when my book came out, I said, I will give it 30 days after the book comes out that I will say yes. And after that, it's a no. And what was beautiful about that too, is I think it's like a marathon, right? Like, you know how many miles you're about to run. And so like, somehow you can stay committed to that. But when that marathon becomes this never ending thing, it's like, you never know how to even step off of it. And so for anyone that's listening, in my opinion, especially if you're selling a vision to someone else, because I agree with you guys, I think that one of the biggest things that entrepreneurs do wrong is that they sell this idea of freedom to their partner, to their family, to their friends. Like, I'm starting this business to take control of my life and my time and my money. And so often we build these things that literally give us the opposite of freedom, right? Audrey, you said like 10 p.m. thoughts, like that's the toll of an entrepreneur. And so I love, even I just came out of a launch and I told Drew, okay, for 1 week, my brain is going to be thinking about business. You will be talking to me and I will not be processing. And for that week, I just need your understanding. But I was literally getting off of a webinar and going to swimming lessons with my kids. And like, my kids force me to step off of that because it's like, I'm ending a webinar and quickly getting on a swimsuit and going to the YMCA. And so I just think in this situation like this, giving that deadline of like, I will push this book until this date, and then I'm going to just save all requests and things, and they'll be there when I get back. And if they're meant for me, they'll wait. I think that's really powerful. And I just appreciate your honesty, because I think, you know, you guys just got married, and like, this whole first year of marriage has really been centered around this massive undertaking that you both have taken on with such grace. And so it's huge.
Yeah. Yeah. No, that's exactly right. Thanks for acknowledging that, because it's easy for us even to not acknowledge that. So it's nice for someone to say that. I think it's really important as well for entrepreneurs to hear this. There is something highly selfish about being an entrepreneur. And we very often have these things that we say about why we're doing it. And there's lots of grandiose statements. And I'm doing this for my family, and I'm doing this for this, and I'm doing this for that. And that rhetoric may be partly true, but it's also a rhetoric that often doesn't end, even when it's long past the point of ever needing to do it for your family. Mm-hmm. You know, I watched Kevin Hart in a documentary talking about the interviewer asked him about being on the road. And, you know, how does your family feel about you constantly being on the road? And he was like, they want me home, but if I'm not on the road, there ain't going to be a home. And I was like, Kevin.
Yeah. Yeah.
How much money have you made?
Yeah.
Like, if it's true, that you touring is what means you have a house,
right,
then you need a smaller house at this point.
Right.
Because something is off. If you have hundreds of millions of dollars and you're still doing it for your family,
yes,
something's off. And I think it's easy as an entrepreneur to dress up what are very self-centered ambitions as I'm doing it for everyone else, because it's a really great place to hide. But it doesn't mean that you're entirely doing it for everyone else. It might be part of it, but it might be about something else. And the other reason I want to say this is because there's a lot of rhetoric out there online about, you know, and you're more in this world than I am, Jenna, but maybe it's more in the male side of things. I don't know. But there's a lot of like, my partner doesn't understand. Like, I'm hustling. I'm doing this. I'm doing that. Like, you need a partner that supports you. And that's true. But it's also your dream.
Yeah.
It's not their dream.
Yeah.
So the idea that your partner just has to hop on board whatever chaotic, stressful, work all day thing that you've decided to commit your blood, sweat, and tears to, it doesn't mean that your partner is suddenly supposed to go, okay, like, it's not their dream. And if they suddenly had a dream that took them out of action 24 hours a day and they were never around, and even on weekends they were stressed and they weren't themselves, and they were constantly, it felt like there was this other thing that was more important, you might struggle with that too, especially if you didn't feel like it was anything you were interested in and it wasn't your dream.
Yep.
So we have to be really careful, like, to speak the other side of it. And what I really loved about what you said is that when you were talking earlier, you said, you know, talking about the vision to your partner.
Yeah.
And I come from a world where people didn't talk about the vision to their partner. Mm. I grew up in a world where people dictated the vision to their partner. Ooh. If their partner even got to hear it. You know, it wasn't about like, let's discuss our future plans together.
Yep.
It was, this is happening. And we, again, I love that you're talking about expressing like what the vision is and getting buy-in from your partner, because there's a lot of relationships where any idea of discussing the vision is really just about, it's just lip service. They're not really asking their partner's opinion or whether their partner is okay with it. It's happening. I just hope you're on board.
Yes.
Is essentially the message.
Yes. One thing I'm curious about, especially with your book and knowing the amazing content inside of it, I can't wait for everyone to get it. One thing I have noticed, and I've talked to so many authors, and you guys kind of already hinted on this a little bit, but were there so many times when you were writing this content and then God or the universe is like checking you, like, you sure about this? You sure? Like, I feel like when you are writing, you are like thrown into the fire of affirming this is true. And especially a book about love and working through all of this together. Like, were you tested in this process of the content and ensuring that, like, yeah, this is it?
Now, do you mean from the point of view of, is it true and accurate, or from the point of view of, should I really say this?
Like,
this feels too vulnerable.
Am I walking the walk of what's in these pages right now? Because life is throwing the examples at me where I am being tested.
Well, so to give people a kind of a lens for this book, the book is called Love Life, How to Raise Your Standards, Find Your Person, and Live Happily No Matter What. And it was designed to be a book for anyone who wanted to find love, who wanted to understand maybe why it had been not working out so far, what was proving to be difficult about it for them and why, but also to understand that it is hard out there objectively, regardless of whether you have any deeper issues that you're bringing to the table that you need to resolve in order to help you find love faster. It also is just difficult to find love.
Yeah.
And of course, so much of our pain comes from what happens to us when we go searching for love, whether it's the pain of dating, whether it's the pain of early, you know, someone breaking our heart that we wanted more with and they didn't want more with us. whether it's the pain of a heartbreak of a relationship that just ended after 5 years or a divorce after 20 years. It's so much, and a lot of our pain comes from being in a relationship that's not right and either doubting ourselves or trying to hold on to someone or feel safe with someone that we can't feel safe with because they never make us feel safe. And then there's the pain of just being on our own and the pain of loneliness and the chronic pain of wanting to find love when love seems nowhere to be found. I wrote this book not just as a way for people to find love faster, but for people to be able to handle and cope with and even find happiness in and amongst some of the most challenging emotional circumstances we find ourselves in, whether it's heartbreak, whether it's just being lonely because I just really want someone and I haven't found someone, or whether it's feeling never satisfied in our love life. How do we manage the emotions that we feel when we're looking for love or dealing with matters of love? The reason I say that in answer to your question is because I did not write this book as a happily married person who was looking back and going, let me talk about finding love. I wrote this through every stage imaginable from, you know, there are early chapters in this book that were written from a place of the most terrible heartbreak where my own heart was broken. And there were days where I couldn't, you know, there was a period where I couldn't even get myself to write because I was just so unhappy and so hurting. I wrote this book as a single person who didn't know if I'd ever find love, who wanted to find love, but, you know, had those same moments that anyone else does where I questioned, is this ever going to happen for me? I like so many people, am I either chasing someone who doesn't want me or I'm with someone that adores me and I'm doubting whether they're the right person? You know, I can't seem to find peace and happiness anywhere here. And then I wrote this book, Dating Audrey.
Yes.
I wrote this book, Marrying Audrey. And I did the final edit on our honeymoon, which, by the way, was a, you'll be happy to hear, Jenna, was a month-long honeymoon. Okay, yeah, so it wasn't like,
let's clarify. I got the behind the scenes pictures from that extravaganza. So proof.
Yeah, we didn't go on a like 10-day honeymoon and I was writing during this honeymoon. We were away for a month in Japan, but I had to take a couple of days in that month to just finalize a couple of things on the edit. But it's mind-blowing to me that I was writing in all those different stages. Yeah. And so it's so, when you say, does it feel like true and in integrity, or did I feel in integrity when I was writing it? The answer is yes, because I was truly living every phase that I was writing about. I wasn't writing, you know, we were talking before we went live about how we have a bad memory for pain.
Yes.
You know, I wasn't writing trying to remember how bad I felt in different times in my life. I was writing from those places and having to find meaning and having to find my own sense of happiness and still like caring about life and still trying to find my love for life, even while my love life was, you know, in a terrible place. And so it's all very, very real to me. And a lot of this book will surprise people because it will absolutely, if you want to find love faster, it's going to help you do that. But it will also, I think people are going to be pretty stunned by how much it addresses just how they can manage their most painful moments. Mm. Because that's what I was also dealing with at the time. And I think that's what we need when we're questioning whether it's ever going to happen for us, when we're questioning, am I ever going to get over this heartbreak? When we need something we can pick up and connect with to feel better, because in those moments, it's not just that we don't have the love of our life, it's that we fall out of love with life.
Yeah. Yeah.
And with ourselves. Yep. We stop liking ourselves because when someone dumps us, we question our worth and we think there's something wrong with us. When we can't find love and everyone else seems to be getting married, we think, God, I'm broken and I hate life because just this was part of my dream for my life and it's not happening. You know, how do you manage those? This book is about how you manage those relationships as well, not just your relationships with other people and getting into one, but how do you manage your relationship with life so that you don't fall out of love with life while you're waiting for love to come along? And how do you find that love for yourself even when the experiences of your life have and the way people have treated you or discarded you has made you feel intensely unworthy and like you come up short?
On top of my many titles as mom, entrepreneur, and creative, I've also added host. Drew and I host on Airbnb on our favorite island in Hawaii. We started hosting as a way to make some extra income, and we've had such an easy breezy experience. Now we host year after year, and it's been a fantastic side hustle. Not to brag, but we've also been crowned Airbnb Superhost several times, so we are really killing the game. It's about having spaces we can enjoy as a family while creating memorable experiences for our guests, and it helps that we earn a little extra cash on the side. Your home might be worth more than you think. Find out how much at airbnb.com/host. One thing that I think is so powerful that I just want to acknowledge in this and the book and your process. I feel like nowadays people are not great at documenting the start and the hard. And like you said, they go back and try to remember it. And I just want to encourage everyone listening, no matter where you're at in your life or your business, to document as much as you possibly can and to write down these feelings and to tether yourself to them on so many days and not have to hunt, because I think we live in this world that wants to show up when they have it all figured out or when it's perfect or, like, you know, presenting the after version of whatever it is that they're after. And I just love that you are committed to documenting all of that, and you couldn't have recreated it because you couldn't necessarily go back there. So I love that. And I think it's a beautiful reminder, no matter if you never want to write a book, document your life. And all I can think about you two is that if you choose to have children someday, that your kids get to read this part of your journey and your story. Audrey, what is something that people get wrong about Matthew? Obviously, you know him better than anyone else. What is something that people would maybe get wrong or be surprised by about Matthew?
Oh, God, hang on. Let me think about this. You know what? People always say to me, it must be amazing to date a relationship expert. You're so lucky to date a relationship expert. Is it really intimidating because he just knows everything? And look.
This is where you went with this.
I love this.
Well, because it's literally the thing I get
the
most.
I love that you started with people think he would be amazing.
No, let me explain. What's funny about that is that, and you actually allude to this in the book in the first chapter, you know, the reason Matt always talked about these subjects is because he was very much figuring things out himself. And he admits the first line of the book is, I used to be a horrible person to date. And the truth is, you know, when we got together, I would say it's probably fair to say that I had more experience in sustaining a long-term relationship and how to be, you know, in a committed, loving, kind of peaceful relationship. And as a result, I actually felt like, and you know, you've taught me so, so, so much. And like, you know, by this time we've been together 4 years. So there's been a lot of kind of like, sometimes I get it wrong, sometimes you get it wrong. But it always makes me laugh because I actually feel like you have learned so much through being in this relationship. Mm-hmm. And so a lot of the times when people say to me, like, he must have been such an amazing person today. He must have all the answers. I'm like, I had more of the answers than he did in the beginning. But I can't say that, although I just said it.
Well, you did. I think you did.
No, but I love this too, because again, like, iron sharpens iron, right? And I feel like the deepest relationships are the one that can expose the parts of you that require the most healing. And I just think that that is powerful. That's what I learn as a parent every day, of like, the things that trigger me with my children are the areas of my life that need healing. And so I think that in a relationship like that, I love that, Audrey. And I think too, Matthew, we got to kind of laugh about it. Like, the perception of a lot of us out there is that we have it all figured out. And the reason why we have it figured out is because we probably sucked at it at some point in our lives and we've done the work to try to heal and learn. And so I love that. Matthew, what do you think
100%.
People get wrong about working with your spouse?
He's going to get me back.
That's
now.
Right. No retaliation.
Wrong about working with your spouse. I suppose I just think maybe in some ways that it's really hard to look at someone else and just copy their model because, like I said, the DNA of yours is so specific. And it's almost like if you'd ask me, what do people get wrong about business? It's you can compare your business to someone else's and look at someone else's and think, well, I want to do that and that and that. And there you could get competitive with other people in the way they're building their business, or you can try and mimic what someone else is doing in their business. But every business's DNA is different.
Yeah.
And it's why, you know, Jenna, you, me, Audrey, we've all sat in a room together with amazing entrepreneurs before and gone around the table, and no two, despite the fact that what you have in that room, you know, there were 20, 30 of us in that room. What we had in common was you had all very smart, very switched on, very hardworking people, but all with completely different DNA and different superpowers. Yeah. And so you can't, the reason no two of those organizations looks the same, even though a lot of them actually operate in very similar spaces, is because the superpowers and the DNA of each of those operators is very different. Yep. And that makes it, you know, you can spend too long, I think, looking at other organizations and saying, what can we get from the way they're doing things, and not leaning into the DNA of what your company can do specifically because you have the kinds of skills and awareness and superpowers and IQ or EQ that you have. And I think working together is a similar thing, that it can work because it's the two of you and the way you operate together. And the reason it works for you might be completely different to the reason it works for them over there.
Yeah.
What I think is really important is like massive self-awareness and massive honesty and being honest with yourself about whether there are genuine red flags going in. It's like dating. Yeah. It's like I almost want to say to people, you know, like I wouldn't say to two people that were really in love on month three, go buy a house together.
Right.
Like it would be a very, very high stakes move to make with someone that you have very intense feelings for now. Well, you may feel like working with your partner is the most exciting thing in the world and you love them so much. And so let's start a business together and both sink a bunch of money into this thing. But that's a really high stakes thing to do. And I feel like the same way, it's like, you want to buy a house together? Well, go share a bed for a year on a lease and then see how you feel. I kind of feel like there should be some kind of like, you know, 6 months or a year of working together in low risk ways.
Yes.
Where it's easy to reverse out of if you find that actually it doesn't work nearly as well as you thought it would. Yeah, so maybe to circle back, like maybe the misconception is that if it feels really, really exciting on day one, that you should suddenly go all in on working with your partner. I feel like you should find low stakes ways to run that experiment before you both change your lives in ways that are hard to reverse.
I love that.
You know, the other thing as well, Jenna, to piggyback on that, because I think there's like a perception of us working together. People initially go, oh, it must be really, really hard.
Yep.
And we're like, no, we really love it.
Yep.
And then people go, oh my God, it must be perfect.
Yes. Yes.
And actually, yes. No, it's not perfect. And the thing that I find, which is kind of a hidden behind the scenes thing that, you know, never gets talked about, not for any reason other than it just doesn't come up, is, you know, you as individuals, you're growing in your own way as you are working together. And so for me, for instance, like I had to learn to, you know, step into a position of leadership and manage 10 different people or whatever it was, or like not directly, but, you know, like having all these responsibilities, you know, broadcasting, all these things that I had never done before. And so I was almost like, and I still am, I, like calibrating that. And then that causes friction because I start being very like domineering in meetings because I'm like, no, I know this is right. And, you know, it's not that I'm wrong. It's that my delivery might be wrong. Yeah. And then it hurts someone else's, like it hurts Matt's feelings because I'm not speaking to him nicely, but it's because I'm trying to be more confident. Yes. And I'm trying to assert myself. Yes. And so I think it's also the ways in which you're kind of individually growing. Yeah. I can't speak for you, but for me, I know that like, my growth and my path has naturally led to conflict, but also just being able to talk about them and move forward with them and then just supporting each other and understanding where it comes from. It always kind of irons out and ends up being really good. But I think that's something that doesn't get talked about and that's always going to happen, even if you have the most synergistic, peaceful working relationship with your partner.
Yeah. Oh my gosh. We could talk about this all day, and I wish we could, but here's where I want to send people. I want to send people to get your book, check out your YouTube, tune in all the places. Where can everybody find you and connect with you both?
So the book is the thing that I would get everyone to go and grab a copy of, because you can find me on all the normal platforms everywhere you look. But I'm a big believer in, you know, when someone has put hundreds and hundreds of hours into one thing, and you can get that thing for $30, I think it's like the greatest value thing you'll ever get from a person. So for anyone who wants not only my latest work and in many ways, my most vulnerable and honest work, but the most powerful, the book is where I would tell people to go. The website is lovelifebook.com. And when you get a copy of the book there, which you can do from any retailer you want, there's also a place where if you put your receipt in, you can get a ticket to an event I'm doing on the 4th of May, which you can't buy your way onto. The only people that are coming to this event are people that have a book. The event itself is called Find Your Person.
I love it.
And it's designed to take everything people have learned from the book about themselves, about love, about their own confidence, and then to apply it in a very practical way to finding their person this year in 2024. So if you go to lovelifebook.com, you can not only buy the book there through Amazon or Barnes and Noble or wherever you want to get it, you can come back with your receipt and put in your code and get a ticket for the event Find Your Person on May the 4th, which is a virtual event. So anyone can come to that.
Amazing. Thank you guys so much for coming on the show. I absolutely adore you guys. I can't wait to celebrate all of this with you. And thanks for coming on Gold Digger with me.
We love you, Jenna. Thank you so much. This was so much fun.
Can I just say what a gift vulnerability is? Today's conversation was deep and powerful, and I'm so grateful to my friends for showing up and not just sugarcoating it all. I think it can be a beautiful pursuit to be in partnership, both in life and in business with your spouse, but I also think it could be extremely challenging. I love too that Matthew was very clear on saying this isn't a prescription. You've got to be honest about your own DNA, the company's DNA, and what that vision really is. And I loved hearing Audrey's perspective. I wanted to have a conversation with her too, because I know that behind any successful creator or business or entrepreneur, there are other people. And Audrey is such a beautiful driving force of their mission and their message. I sincerely hope you go out and grab a copy of Matthew's book, Love Life. I agree with him wholeheartedly. When someone puts hundreds of hours into something so permanent as a book and you can get your hands on it for under $30, it's powerful. I can tell you that many, many, many authors' best work lives inside of their books. And I know that this is the case for Matthew. Thank you so much for listening to another episode of the Gold Digger Podcast. Of course, until next time, keep on digging your biggest goals. I'm over here giving you a virtual high five because you just finished another episode of the Gold Digger Podcast. Did that go by way too fast for anyone else? If you want more, head over to golddiggerpodcast.com for show notes and all the discount codes from today's sponsors.
And if you're looking for a new crew of movers and shakers like you to bounce ideas and ask questions, be sure to join my exclusive community for Gold Diggers on Facebook. The link's waiting for you at golddiggerpodcast.com.